All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? That's right, we are professionals. We are here on possibly the worst week of the year.
Speak for yourself.
If you're a sports fan. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here.
Get so crazy with the cheese here. Whiz.
I don't know what the cheese whiz
I was listening to Beck on the way in, and I was listening to Loser, and in that song, he just screams out random things. And I thought, we should just make it a Beck day and just scream out random things. And like in the middle of the song, he just goes, Specken Sie Deutsch. Like, why are you yelling random things in your song, Beck? That makes no sense.
You just made me hungry with the cheese whiz.
So you just did it in the first segment.
Cheese whiz.
There you go. I Becked it.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
How was your weekend?
Pretty much boring, uneventful. I mean, how was y'all's?
Mine was kind of eventful, but for a boring dude. Does that make sense?
No.
So I pulled weeds for a total of about 6 hours.
No, thank you.
Spread over 2 days. Four garbage bags. Four of the black bags. The garbage bags, like the big, I don't know what they're called. Four of those, and I'm half done.
No, thank you.
Yeah, half done. I am sunburnt to all be damned. I tried to watch poker. I couldn't stay up for that long-ass marathon. And then last night, I drove to Austin to do an open mic.
I saw that you drove a long period of time for a short set.
I drove 2.5 hours to do a 4-minute set in Austin. Because I want to start working at the Cap City Comedy Club, and you kind of have to do those things. It's a glamorous, glamorous business, comedy is. But it's kind of a boring drive, Austin, going 290. It's not, there's nothing really great. But when I hit Prairie View, I saw one of the most interesting things ever. They're building a huge cricket facility. And they proclaim it to be one of the largest in the nation. Now, they're just breaking ground on it, so it's all just flat dirt, and there's nothing there yet.
Yeah.
But there's a big-ass sign in Prairie View, Texas that says, cricket facility coming soon. And then it says, one of the largest in the country. And I'm thinking, do we have that many cricket players in the area that are willing? Not only do we have that many, do we have that many that are willing to drive to Prairie View?
I was going to say.
On a daily or weekly basis to play cricket.
You going to play pickup cricket? Or are there going to be like leagues Monday through Friday nights? And then on the weekends it's open cricket play?
I have no idea. I don't even know how cricket works.
Nick, you know as well as I do. There's a field. It's not just a field. There's like an athletic complex field with a big open grassy area out in the Telfair Sugarland area where occasionally I see some guys playing a little pickup cricket.
I haven't seen it, but I will say this.
Little pickup cricket.
I haven't seen that. That would shock me if I saw that in Sugarland.
It's the same fields that they play like flag football and stuff. So at first I'm driving by and I'm going, because there's a couple groups that play flag football, a pickup flag football. I'm like, oh, they must be. And I'm like, whoa, no, they're not. They're playing cricket. And I was just like, what?
Well, I will say that it's big in the Indian community. Mm-hmm. They're really big on cricket. And when I went to my second favorite Indian restaurant, okay, during the Western Conference, because Cowboys and Indians is my favorite
it better
Indian
be.
Restaurant.
Yeah, good choice.
I went inside and they were playing during the Western Conference Finals. They had maybe one or two TVs on, playing NBA. Mm-hmm. And then like the remaining 8 or 9 TVs were on cricket. So they're really big on that. So I could probably, I guess I can see why there's some pickup cricket going on in that area. Yeah.
So it says, I pulled up this release and it says that basically the area is 68 acres.
Yeah, just what you just showed me, that's a large piece of land.
That is ginormous, 68 acres. And then there's another 3 acres across the 290 on the other side. But it's called Liendo Park, I guess. But they're going to finish it this year, apparently. That's just wild to me. It says this new cricket complex will be more convenient and allow us to more easily hold tournaments. Also, the new fields will enable us to grow our league of 28 teams to as many as 50 teams. Currently, no new teams can join because we simply don't have enough fields. There's 28 cricket teams in the area?
How many guys are on a cricket team? Like five?
I have zero friends
don't
that play
me,
cricket.
Don't catch me,
Lion. Exactly. I was thinking about that.
By the way, I have no idea.
Way I would know way, that.
We'll come back to cricket, but I was thinking about that when I was weeding. I was like, he just put that on me, and it's not even the right phrase, and I don't say it all that often, but now
it's just, funny because it's wrong.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't go away. He just uses it now like it's something that I said.
Yeah.
No, I just use it That's for me. So and people
I'm gonna
chuckle
do that.
About
I'm
it.
Gonna do that to you.
You and do you're a gonna, lot of you're stuff to me, so like that it. Doesn't surprise me. And there's a lot of stuff I don't like either. So that it all par for the course.
It all works out, right?
Can I tell you that
back
we
to
should,
cricket, sorry.
Yes, we should be the marketing campaign for the cricket fields. Can you not see billboards all over town with Barry Warner that just says chirp?
No.
And then it says if you get your cricket fix.
That's a 20. So they're going to grow to 50 teams. That's pretty wild.
But is that going to support that kind of that land and everything that they're going to put around it? I mean, I don't know how long. First of all, like I said, I don't know how many guys are on a cricket team. I don't know how long a quote unquote match, if I'm using the right term.
Oh, those go. They go days. You think the World Series of Poker was long? Because I started watching it at 8 o'clock, and at 4:30 a.m., I was like, I can't watch this anymore. I'm going to have to finish tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, 8 p.m. to 4:30 a.m., and they weren't done.
Yeah.
But a cricket match, they'll go days upon days.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was about the same length as a baseball game.
First of all, all I can think of is trying to hit a Lance – cricket to me is trying to hit a Lance McCullough curveball on one hop. It's like you sit there with a padded bat and you don't hit it on the a lot of you're not hitting it like a thrown ball. A lot of times these guys are letting it bounce once or skip up off the plate and then they take their big cut at it. I'm going to me it's like trying to hit McCullough's curveball after it hits the ground once. I'm like, what? It's just a challenging sport, but I don't understand it.
Cricket is played in three versions. A test match has a duration of a maximum of 5 days. Oh 8 hours God. Each day including breaks. It can end early. On an average, the result is usually obtained on the fourth or fifth day.
What?
That's insane.
Concessions have
four
just to be
or five
killing
days
it, right?
to determine one match. That's insane.
I'll pass.
Yeah,
me too.
I can't. That's why I can't play poker. Because, I mean, it goes on for hours and hours and hours and days.
Poker, but usually...
Depending on the tournament.
Yeah. Like this, the Steelhouse Poker $500,000 tournament that's coming up, it'll probably be the weekend. Their opening tournament was 2 days.
Okay.
It was Saturday. Well, I'm sorry. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But you don't sit through all that. If you played on Friday and qualified, you didn't come back till Sunday.
Right.
And then Sunday, you might spend 6, 7, 8 hours. They speed it up because the blinds start getting higher and the antes start getting exactly. higher and they start weeding people out towards the end.
Right.
But it can last still.
So Keith says cricket facilities have multiple fields on site. Two of them have lights, but Prairie View A&M is building a new student dorm at that site as well as retail and restaurants to go with it.
It says 12 to 14 cricket fields, including two for evening matches, ready for play by the second quarter of 2019.
We better.
Huh? I see what you did here.
Yeah, that was good. We should probably get our game together.
Crazy with the cheese whiz.
Does it say how many? Does it say how many people are on a cricket team?
I don't know. How many people? Does your Google's not work?
I just like it because you're the numbers, you're the info guy. You just go get them.
I don't understand. Cricket is a game played between two teams made up of 11 players each. So it's football team style. There's also a reserve player called a 12th man who's used should a player be injured during play. The 12th man is not allowed to bowl, bat, wicket, keep. Or captain the team. Can't bowl, bat, wicket keep, or captain the team, Nick. The 12th man, just like the Aggies. Aggie cricket team. Whoop! All right, maybe not.
I never would have guessed 11.
I wouldn't have. I would have been like 9, 7, 4, something
if
like that.
Yeah, like between 4 and 7.
You know it's grown if you start seeing it at universities, like American universities, because it's not really like an... It didn't originate in America. It couldn't have, right?
Don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me just pull up cricket on the... I'll look at the break. We'll get our cricket on in the next segment. I'm going to get down to business.
Listeners
on this.
Are just enthralled. They can't
cricket
wait.
Talk.
Hold your breath. It's cricket talk on ESPN 97.5. All right. We'll be back with more. And, of course, if you want to get us off cricket talk, please do. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Game on, people! Beck is the music, cricket is the topic. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be going to get coffee.
16th century is how old cricket is.
Created where?
Southeast England. Would have never guessed it to be an English game. But now there are huge complexes and facilities all over the world. It's a team sport with a bat and a ball. And a wicket. And various protective equipment. They don't use gloves, though, I don't believe.
No, they don't.
That's wild.
Because on, like, SportsCenter top plays and stuff, occasionally they'll have a guy that goes and makes this unbelievable catch. And they do have, like, a wall. But it's not like the home run wall in baseball. But they have guys going in the stands, but they barehand it.
Yeah, and there's, like, a field, and it's shaped like in an oval and then a circle. There's the infield. So it's, like, kind of like baseball in that the bat and the ball and the pitcher and the guy's trying to hit it. But it goes behind you, too, so it's a big circle. Mm-hmm. Like, with baseball, basically everything's in front of the hitter. And that's just not the case in cricket. It's like the outfield is a circle. The infield is an oval. That's wild.
And they call – it's like – it's just one long, narrow, rectangular dirt strip,
the pitch.
Which is their pitch, that's as opposed the pitch. To the soccer field, which is the pitch. And then they have, like, two just random – like, what would you say it? Like, the – what do you call those things that block parking spots in big stadium parking lots? The, like, cement...
Pillars
or whatever. Yeah, they have two of those, like, groin-high pillars. And
those are called the wickets, I believe.
Okay, well, there you have it. That explains more to me than I ever would know. And then they hit it with a pillow bat. It's a bat. It's got, like, padding on it, but they can hit it pretty good.
A pillow bat?
Yeah, it looks like a pillow bat. It looks like somebody...
This is the worst breakdown of cricket ever. They've got these tall things that are groin high.
I'm telling you, because
I admittedly don't know.
I didn't notice the pillow or the cushion part of the...
It's just flat. It doesn't look like a pillow. It looks like a...
Doesn't it have padding on it?
Or a 1x6.
Doesn't it have padding on it?
I thought it was flat, too, but
you
I'm
know
not
what it
sure.
Looks like? It looks flat. Like a fraternity spanking... paddle.
It does look like an assistant principal's spanking paddle. It does.
Only, it looks like it has a little pad. To me, it always looked like it has padding on. Now, here's the really ironically weird thing. In all places of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in all of the parks that we played our baseball at, from like little peewee league all the way to high school ball, at least the junior high ball, in the outfield, there were cricket fields. I'm like, am I missing something? Like, all of a sudden in Milwaukee, there's this outbreak of people that want to play cricket. But lo and behold, on the weekends, there were people playing cricket.
So, you said you couldn't get into cricket. Did you watch... I know you said Joel, you saw it in the morning, the World Series of Poker.
I did.
Did you watch any of it, Nick?
Nope.
None, huh?
Mm-mm.
It was long. I think it was the most hands ever played at a final table.
Yeah, the guy bitched about it.
Between two people. So, I started watching it at 8 o'clock because I was ready to go.
At night.
There was, 8 o'clock at night. I watched it nonstop all the way until 4:30 in the morning, and I was so tired, and I knew I had to get up and do the yard. That I was like, all right, I'll just record the next couple of hours on ESPN to get the rest of it. And then woke up and watched another 2 hours or maybe hour and a half, and still hadn't got to the finals, to the final, you know, hand yet. It was so long. But I tell you what, if you weren't into poker, but you watched it, you were into poker now. It was so good, dude. The drama and the back suspense. And forth. Yes. Like, that was one of the best bluffs in poker history that went down pretty early on. And John Sin was on, he was on the hook to call. He had to either call or fold because, was it Tony Miles? He just shoves all in with nothing. Shoves all in. And they show Sin, and he's just sitting there, and he's thinking. He spends like 4 minutes thinking about it, and he folds. And the cool thing about this is that the whole thing is on a 30-minute delay. So it's happening live. So it happened over the weekend. But they have it on a 30-minute delay. And then the teams will go. They'll have, like, they have coaches. They have poker coaches and teams that get the – they'll go back. They'll be watching it, and then they'll start looking at what happened 30 minutes ago so they can see what hand was there. So he didn't, like – once Miles shoved all in, Sin folded, Miles didn't show his hand. So he had no idea if it was the right call to fold or not. So he didn't find out till 30 minutes later that he should have went all – he should have called him.
He was angry.
He would have won the tournament.
Oh,
so he had to play for another eight, you know, however long it lasted, another 8 hours because he didn't call it then, but he still ended up winning. So thank God for that, because if he would have lost, it would have been even worse. But it was like that the entire time. Like, they were going all in with bluffs, and I'm thinking,
they
I'm
said
watching
the,
that.
The bluffing thing became like they were
unbelievable.
They overbluffed at the end.
They started doing it too much, but it was one of those things where there was just some ballsy bluffs where you're just like, there's $3 million on the line, because if you lose, you're getting roughly $5 million. If you win, you're getting roughly $8 million.
Yep.
A little more on each side. So this is, it's the difference in $3 million that you're basically bluffing on, and you with nothing and at nothing. I mean, a seven, and you're like all in. You got a seven high. Yeah, all in. I could never do that in a million years. There's no way. They just. And then one thing I really liked that I thought involved a lot of sports about it was Phil Hellmuth started taking over like the guest commentary.
Yep.
And he started talking about the fact that Tony Miles had a tell, and he called it right away. When Miles would throw his chips in, he would flip them kind of backwards, like almost not underhand, but like, I don't know, like you roll dice backwards kind of, right? He would throw his chips in like that. And Hellmuth immediately said, there's a tell. You can tell when he bluffs, he flips his chips in backwards. Wow. Well, then... remember now, it's a 30-minute delay. So he just gave a tell for the other guy and their team to pick up on as well. And other poker players were saying, oh, yeah, yeah. They were texting Hellmuth while I was on the broadcast saying, yeah, yeah, I noticed that too. Well, then 30 minutes go by, and the teams pick up on it now. So John Sin knows that that's a tell, and the other team knows that that tell has been out there now. And so then they're saying that Phil Hellmuth is that it was unethical for him to do that. It was unethical for him to point it out. And people are saying he shouldn't have done that. But in his defense, and what he was saying was, bro, that's my job as the commentator. Mm-hmm. If I know the game
that's
of
great
poker
stuff.
And I can share the insight. Do people get mad when Tony Romo says they're about to run? They're going to run to the left right here. And then that was his point. He was saying, like, Tony Romo calls a play before it happens, and everyone says he's a genius. Or he points out that this quarterback, when he drops back or when he does this or that, you know he's going to throw the ball.
Or Bagwell and Blummer, when they talk about when they played, picking up signs or
exactly.
What certain things mean. You love that as a viewer.
But people got mad at him in the poker community.
The tournament, yeah.
And I was like, no. That should not – that absolutely should be what he's there for. That's what I want to know.
Hellmuth doesn't care. He has that repute. He just doesn't care. I mean,
15 bracelets and as much money as he won, yeah.
Oh, just as – even if he didn't, his personality, he just does not care.
Fred was talking about during this tournament, he got penalized because of dropping an F-bomb and yelling.
Yep.
Sure did.
And those kind of things. And he's obviously that personality, and he plays for that now. That's part of – even if he didn't feel like doing it anymore, he's still going to do that. Because that's who he is. But I turned on SportsCenter Saturday morning thinking I was going to see SportsCenter. And then I thought, oh, this is just a replay of the end of the World Series of Poker. And then it turned out it had gone that long. And the only way that I knew was when they were interviewing the last two guys, which, by the way, when everybody said the guy from Houston was going to, he was so far ahead, he was just going to coast and he'll be there. He finished third. But then when they were interviewing the two guys, and it was like kind of like a hug fest, love, like they were... I couldn't figure out who won at first, the way they were both kind of consoling each other. And then finally, the guy who lost, ends up with the spilled milk speech of, well, I mean, I wasn't thinking sharply after about the sixth hour. And the fact that we did it this long, my brain was, it's just a shame that this thing has to be decided at, when I'm in a state where I'm not thinking and at my sharp mental best. I'm like, dude, get some mental brightness and a fresh pair of drawers, you little weenie.
It is true, though. I mean, he was, because the stuff that he was doing early on in the first couple of hours had to be mentally exhausting, because you have to go back and you have to remember 5 and 6 hours ago what a guy did to pick up on his tendencies. So not only are you trying to remember back several hours ago on certain hands, you're even trying to keep up with what happened in this hand. All right. So when this, so he raised, you know, he raised on the big blind, and then, or a third bet, and then he raised on the flop, and then, so you got to remember that, or why did it, you're trying to figure out what he has in his hand, and it's exhausting, dude. And I'm not smart enough. Like, I love playing poker, but I'm not smart like those guys. I just kind of play for fun. That's amazing that those guys can sit there for that long and do that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of, like, things that go on, from the mental toughness and literally intestinal fortitude, which you wouldn't think would be associated with poker. But, boy, it is a thinking man's game. There's no doubt. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. So 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, which you guys are doing great at. By the way, I don't know if you saw this or not, Barry, but the early returns on tweet of the day so far would be our guy, Patrick Randizzle. He said Cowboys and Indians needs to get ahead of the game and open up a location by those cricket fields. I'll get in on some of that.
Nice. Yeah, for
great
sure.
Call. All right, we'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Usual Suspects, just a half hour into the three-hour extravaganza on a Monday. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. I know, I guess, maybe I am the only one that feels this way, but this is one of the worst weeks of the year because of the fact that there's just nothing. I wrote about it for... I sat there last night looking at the wall for about 2 hours going,
what
the heck? I'm kidding, but I'm like, I hate Sunday nights when I have a column to write for Sports Map, and I'm going, the hell is there to write about tonight?
What did you write about?
I wrote about, first of all, the fact that this is the worst week of the year for sports fans because you realize without baseball, basketball, or football, how bad it can be. And even if you like golf, it's the British Open, and you've got to get up at like 3 a.m. or watch highlights just to see that it sucks. But that with the ESPYs Wednesday night and the fact that this week sucks, if you're a Houstonian, at least you have some solace in knowing that the ESPYs this year will have a huge Houston presence, and that fans could still actually rock the vote and get more votes in for the Astros, and there's a couple with Harden in it for best athlete and best player in the league, but the Astros could really kill it in the ESPYs this year.
Well, you really were reaching. I'm telling you. You wrote about the fact that there was nothing to write about.
Look, Poopy Pants.
I wasn't going to go there.
You wrote about Poopy Pants after we talked about Poopy Pants. So
what?
What did you write about, Barry?
What's our name? The reliever for the Diamondbacks.
Who dropped the...
Yeah. Of course I wrote about that. What do you think? I'm going to like start breaking down pitching rotations or something like
you
that?
You do occasionally.
Yeah, but I'm not going to write about that. I try to keep it fun half the time at least.
Okay.
Well. But there's only really 3 days without sports. So it's today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and then the schedule starts back up on Thursday. So that's not bad.
Yeah, there's one game on Thursday because ESPN had to have some way of isolating. Chicago, in fact, they lost the Sunday Cardinals. Night baseball this last week or yesterday. So they get the only game on Thursday night. And then there's a full slate on Friday. It's Charlie, I always forget this, but Charlie is the consummate professional on this stuff. Every year this week, he takes at least 3 days off because he knows it's coming.
Smart, yeah. Speaking of the Cardinals, because the Cubs and Cardinals play on Thursday, they fired their coach, Mike Matheny, because they're not doing well. They were expected to be competing in that division. They are a couple of skosh under 500, I believe. And what is their record? Yeah, yeah, 48 and 46. A skosh above 500. Still 7.5 back at the Cubs, 5 back at the Brewers. So they made changes now. The big names that are being reported out there, the big name is Girardi as an option, and Mark McGwire.
That's just the whole Cardinals family.
They kept, yeah, and then some. I was trying to figure out, because Josh Rapp hit us up and was like, what do you guys know? And I'm like, we're not Cardinals insiders. We have no idea. But most of the rags are reporting Girardi might be the front runner. But I started to look because I was kind of interested what other guys are out there, because they talk about the Astros bench coach. I forget his name, but used to be with the Yankees. He's a hot name now that's coming up.
Oh, he came
up
over this last year.
I'll look his name up. But so I just wanted to see. I was interested if he would fall on the list. And he was. But, man, they had a bunch of Cardinals listed. So I don't know if they were joking or not. But
Cintron, is that right? Alex Cintron?
No.
That's the first base coach, right?
Yeah, Joe Espada. Yeah, it's Joe Espada. Yeah. But I was surprised to see that many different names of former Cardinals. They even threw out there Benji Molina for no other reason other than the fact that Yadier is on. Come on. You're not basing your franchise. If you're going to fire Matheny, who I thought did a pretty damn good job in St. Louis, all things considered, if you're going to fire him, you're not bringing in Benji Molina.
Let's be honest, though. This was because I'm with you. I thought Matheny did a lot of good stuff. But when the word started to leak about a lot of things internally, about the fact that he had certain players policing the locker room for him and almost hazing a rookie pitcher or two. Who's the big the guy used to pitch for the Astros? That at one point, big kid that used to throw real hard. He was with the Angels. He was a starter that they thought was going to be one of their longtime prospects, and then he just fizzled. Now he's a reliever for the Cards.
Bud Norris.
Okay. Bud Norris was supposedly Mike Matheny's bully.
Oh yeah.
And so he was in charge of like hazing rookie pitchers and, you know, getting.
Why on earth would Mike Matheny want that to be?
I don't know, but he was also like the squealer that would go snitch out what was going on. And then the whole Dexter Fowler thing, and now if you heard about all that or not, but Fowler, who signed the monster contract and doesn't seem like he's ever been happy in St. Louis, is not hitting the ball well, not playing well, and then the general manager called him out on air, basically saying that they're not going to tolerate the way he's been playing and the fact that he's not given full effort and things like that. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff you do behind closed doors.
Yeah. That organization seems to be a little turmoil. I wasn't aware of all that just because I don't keep up with the Cardinals all that much. But Matheny, 591 and 474, a 55.5 winning percentage. That's not terrible.
No.
Baseball. Not terrible.
La Russa disciple, because he played and was always around La Russa, and obviously in such a key position like catcher, that's how he got the job. But I'm kind of with you. Just on record alone, especially with the talent he was given or the talent that left town, I don't think it was a really bad job there. I think that because everything else surrounding it got out and they had this whole Cardinals way that they've lived, you know, by that kind of law forever, the whole Cardinals way seems to have got – everybody's picking on it now with these articles going, yeah, your Cardinals way is long gone.
Just to be just for comparison's sake and to give it a Houston tie, if you're curious what A.J. Hinch's winning percentage is as a manager – 51.9, and Matheny managed to a 55.5.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. Now, you know, Hinch had the 2 years or the year plus with the Diamondbacks and then came over in 2015. But that first year with A.J. Hinch, the Astros made the wild card. So it's that was the year when they played Kansas City and really blew that series against KC.
Oh, God, did they.
Yeah. But so Mike Matheny out in St. Louis, and we'll figure out who's
right. If anybody cares, we'll get to you next week.
Yeah, probably nobody cares. We probably spent more time on St. Louis Cardinals than we needed to.
And we made Josh Rapp happy.
Well, good for him.
Exactly. You want to talk some golf?
We could.
Could make his year.
Hey, are you going to log on at 2 o'clock for Amazon Prime?
No.
I have it up on my screen. I'm waiting to see what the big hubbub is going to be.
Why do you do that? Because it's they give you special deals?
Yeah, it's usually pretty disappointing overall.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, but I don't know why I'm so tempted to check it out. But I don't imagine it's going to be a big difference if I just waited until I got home.
I might do stuff like I'll see if maybe there's some like audio books on sale that I can buy and listen to while I'm driving, because I'm going to Oklahoma City in a couple weeks, right? I'll be in Wichita next month. So those drives are long, 6 and 8 hours. And so if I can find some books on tape or something like that. But I think a lot of people expect, I'm going to get a TV for $100. Amazon's not doing that. They don't usually have what they'll be is the, or the deals that they'll have will be like you can get a tub of hair gel for $1.70 or these fancy paper clips, a box of 1,000 for 40 cents. It's like no one wants this stuff. A ballpoint pen.
If you want the TV deal, get yourself a lawn chair and park yourself outside Best Buy. In about three or four months.
Because Bro Bible had a story about what Best Buy is doing to, you know, go up against Amazon Prime Day. And Best Buy is doing a two-day sale. And they're having some things where you can get some deals on, like, the iPhone 7, the Samsung Galaxy S8. They've got save $120 on a 40-inch Samsung TV. $300 on a 65-inch. So, I mean, they're trying to compete, but I don't know. A lot of that seems like Black Friday deals where I just don't feel like on Black Friday even, it's to go to the stores, you might, you know, there's a few deals, but it's not worth the fight. And online, it's all right.
I think people online, even though it does take a lot of the things you're talking about out of the mix, which saves you some peace of mind, which is, you know, parking and, like you said, waiting in lines and trying to fight your way through to fight people to get deals. But at the same time, you're expecting a home run. You're expecting that same kind of initial feeling of, I got them. And you're not going to get that.
No. And then, like, because what you'll see is you can get 5 USB cables for your phone for $4 or something. It's like, oh, okay. Like, that's not, I don't think that that's what people really want. There's a one or two deals that you might really be interested in. The rest of it's garbage, so.
This weekend I could use
I'll check it out. Oh, you needed a cable this weekend?
It just died. Ooh. Out of nowhere, the one that I charge overnight, my phone overnight, just died.
You got to get you one of those
nightstand chargers. I got it.
Is it fast charger?
I got it. I just never took it out of the box. It's been sitting there, so I pulled it out.
You're the worst.
I know. Hey, and your guy that you talked about to show you that he's a smart man, the CEO of Amazon,
mm-hmm.
The numbers came out because of it being Amazon Prime Day. Jeff Bezos, he made his first $1 billion in June of 1998. He was at $10 billion by June of 1999. He was at $50 billion by July of 2015. Today, $150 billion.
Is that a lot?
Dollars.
Is that good?
Nothing.
I'll take it.
I don't know, but I sure do like my Amazon Prime, but I heard it's going up now to 119.
Yeah, Lisa's got it too.
I don't know why they're raising it, but I guess unless they're going to start offering more things, because they're usually good about if they raise it or if they offer more services, they obviously raise the price. But I really don't use it for anything other than the free shipping. But I buy a lot on Amazon, so I spend a lot of money. So it pays for itself over the course of 12 months.
I don't like it because it just seems like all they do when you type in something like if I'm looking for shoes or whatever like that, and I type that in. Then you got to go to whatever their market sellers are first, fight through the first couple of possible places that have
ads,
and then find what you need. But I know my wife likes it because I'm on a first name basis with the delivery guy with all that crap that comes from Amazon. She put it out there today, and it's true, but I don't know why she bought paper straws.
Paper straws,
people, yeah. Because of the environment. I'm like, really?
See, like I bought air filters. I bought chocolate.
I've bought my air conditioning air filters. I bought
a battery for my garage door opener.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I get everything on Amazon.
When you say filters for your air conditioning?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And my refrigerator. I bought this stuff for killing weeds and headphones and oil for...
I bought these...
I mean, dude, I buy everything on Amazon.
The headphone pads? The replacement pads?
Yeah.
I bought those there.
I'm looking at this. It's just... It's crazy how much money I spend. But I like it because this is stuff that I would have to go out and get somewhere. So it's great. I dig it.
Do you think if I just do the little free trial and then you know how they like charge you after, will that count as me being a Prime member?
It might. That's kind of what they do it for. They want a Prime Day. Yeah. They want people to sign up.
Dude, you can get Forever 21 t-shirts on there
now. That's Barry. Don't confuse the audience. That's Barry.
I'm just throwing it out there. You get them for like probably like $4, $5, or $10.
That is not true, is it? Forever.
I don't know.
No, okay.
I ran into the mall and I went by a Forever 21 in Sugar Land and I did think of you guys.
They have gift cards, but they do have clothes. Mostly chick stuff, though. No guy stuff.
Shocker.
Shut up.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Before we head to break, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Mattress Mack does a great job. We know how big of a staple he is in this Houston community, but he also, with his furniture stores, aims to please and make sure that whenever you need furniture, you hit up one of the three locations. There's Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. There's the Galleria area, and there's, of course, I-45 North. Exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which location you choose, you're going to get the same American-made solid wood quality furniture, whether you get leather or upholstered furniture from brands like Stickley that are going to last you a long, long time. You're going to get great customer service from the people that are going to take care of you. From the time you walk in the door until the time you leave, they're going to make sure that they take care of you. They pay attention to your needs, your preferences for each room of the house that you're buying furniture for, and that you realize that what they say is what they're going to do. So you buy, and within 3 to 4 hours, the delivery people are at your house delivering it that same day or night. That's the way they do business. There's no back order slips. Brandon from here in the office went to Gallery because he heard me endorsing Gallery Furniture and talking about all my furniture from Gallery. He had shopped other places. When he got there, the other places who had said that they had back orders on all the stuff he wanted, he got to Gallery, they had everything he needed. They also had it at a lower price. They also delivered it the same day, and they took away furniture he did not want anymore and moved furniture that he needed to be put in other rooms of the house. Overall, he could not have been more pleased because he saved money, he got what he wanted the same day, and he was taken care of and treated like he actually meant something to them, which meant a lot. And that's the way Gallery does business. And the one thing that Max says is exactly what they're going to do time and time again. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Hour number one, 3 hour big show extravaganza, etc., etc. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It's a Monday. It's ESPN 97.5 for the first 2 hours. It's ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1 for the third hour.
That was a big sigh.
Yeah, this damn African dust.
Oh, come on.
First of all, look, if you've got asthma like Nora does, that it can affect you. Like, there's people that have asthma and, you know, respiratory issues. That it can mess with you, and running in it and stuff like that can't be good. When I was driving to Austin last night, I left during the daylight, and you kind of get to this point where you start getting into the hill country on 290, and I forget what city it is, but you kind of get past it, and then you start to see the hills, and you could see out into kind of the hills and some of the valleys and stuff, and it was just this fog almost of African dust, which sounds a lot like a street drug. If you think about it, it does. You want to go huff some African dust? Be like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do that. Get high and do weird stuff. Let's do it.
I guess because it kind of sounds like angel dust, and that used to be around.
Right. That's an old school. Yeah. Like back in the day when they would have all the weird names for drugs.
Yep.
Like bumblebees and sidewinders and all that stuff. You don't remember that? No. Looking at me like I'm wild.
No, I trust you. In this case, only.
But they used to call like the uppers and the downers. They had all these fancy, like, now it's just like meth and crack. But back in the day, they got creative with it. They were just bumblebees and sidewinders. And that's the only two I remember from this
present. Sledgehammers and pocket rockets.
Was that a thing?
I don't know.
Or are you just making that up? I remember because they would come by and do these presentations for Say No to Drugs.
Yeah.
And they would have this suitcase, and they would open it, and it would have all the drugs in there. And they would show you, like, these are bumblebees, and these are sidewinders, and these are uppers, and they'll make your heart explode, and these are downers, and they'll make you kill yourself. And
I remember you telling me that. I couldn't believe that.
Angel dust, and this will make you jump off a building. Now, they do have bath salts now, but that's really bath salts, so it's not the fancy name. Huh?
They had Texas hammers.
What is that?
That's a drug.
No, that's not a drug.
It allows you to hammer!
No. But yeah, I do. I always, for some reason, those two names always stuck in my head. I have no idea why. I just remember those two.
Hmm.
But yeah. But they, yeah. So that's why I'm signed, because I do notice that it's a little different, the breathing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because this stupid African.
I will say
does.
This. Is I this told you guys over with?
Do you ever remember this being a thing before?
Well, I remember seeing it like on cars, like you see pollen. I saw like a because pollen's more like a yellowy kind of a greenish, and I remember seeing like more of a brown, almost like a sawdust colored dust on cars and stuff like that. But it was more prevalent to where you, like I said, like it was thicker, like you could see it. Like this time around, I haven't seen it, but I agree with you. When I ran last week, I felt it. Like at the end, you could feel it a little bit in terms of your breathing, but it's the way they promote it on the weather and everything like that. Well, you're going to be able to see the haze and see it. It hasn't been as prevalent to the sight to being able to see it as it has in the past.
Yeah. And I'm used to like the fires from Mexico where they do the controlled burns in Mexico. Yep, I get that. We always get that smoke that comes up here, which also can mess with people with respiratory issues. But this, for some reason, this is the first time I remember African dust being an issue. And now it's twice in 2 weeks. That's a long ass ways to travel if you're some dust. Like, how does that, that just blows
it
my
really
mind.
It really is.
Dust,
when you think about it. And they show like, you know, they show the weather map.
Across the ocean.
They show the weather map. And
yeah,
they show how far the damn dust traveled.
It's wild.
Just to unload on Houston. And you're like, God, how does it stay up there that long?
Did you see the tweet from Laura Pope? She said, are cricket players hot? And then she tweeted out, I just Googled cricket players. And I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did she really do that?
Yeah, that's funny. JJ said, I was watching ESPN yesterday and they had cornhole on. When did that become a sport? Oh, yeah.
When tailgating became a thing way back when.
Competitive cornholing.
Yep.
If you can start a sport or a league, people are all over that now. It could be some of the most ridiculous sports.
Yeah, like video games.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're asking this question and there's video games that people are like, there's a competitive league where guys are making tens of thousands of dollars in salary to be a video game.
I wonder if like, because like you look at cornhole and you're like, that is just the dumbest, most asinine thing to start up a cornhole league and make it competitive. I wonder if that same thing happened like when darts started becoming like more, they have no dart leagues now. And you're like, really? Darts? Like, we get drunk and play that at the bar.
Right.
Why is there a competitive dart league now? Or bowling?
Pool,
same thing.
Yeah, Black Widow.
There's a lot of these that just revolve around hanging out and drinking, and then they become sports.
What was it? Willie Moscone and Minnesota Fats. ESPN used to do those were the two big names in pool.
Yeah, and the Black Widow, like you mentioned.
And then the Black Widow, yeah.
It's pretty wild. Oh, look, we have a scientific breakdown.
What is the name?
Grambling.
Is there more to it?
I have no idea.
Intern Claudia's back.
Oh, Barry's going to have a field day. All right, let's get to this call on African dust. Caller, please identify yourself and welcome to the show.
Man, this is Grambling Mike. What you talking about?
Grambling Mike.
Oh.
You got her. Got her.
First we get the Black Panther. Man, give the black man a sense of pride and good feeling going all about. But so now here come the white man. Let's keep him down. Let's invent something. We'll call it African dust. It's got to be bad. Always something with you white people. Man, fight the power.
We should have hung up as soon as we heard it was OU Mike.
Yeah, the word was
Grambling
cut off.
Mike.
We didn't know. We probably would have saved it for the next segment.
Known. That was the most senseless, racist, worthless.
He ends it with fight the power.
Mike.
There's your bump out music.
I would tell you do better, but
that's not going to happen.
No. By the way, so now of all the things that I've been told I am, which no one is calling me petty yet, but I think they should, because can I tell you that on the way in, I was listening to Charlie and he was talking about Alex Bregman. And I mean, unless you've been living under a rock, you know just how hot Alex Bregman is right now in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta specify because old drop Nick over there. But there's nobody hitting the ball better really in baseball than Alex Bregman. And so Charlie was talking about it and it made me think back about 10 weeks ago to my article when I said, they really need to move Alex Bregman to the tool. I think it'll kickstart the offense. It'll get him going. And then I had all these haters that jumped on our Facebook page on ESPN and were like, you're an idiot. I think AJ Hinch knows what he's doing. Shut your mouth. He's good where he is. Don't be a dumbass. This guy's sports takes are as bad as his comedy. And they're just hitting me with all that. So I waited in the weeds, and then now look where Alex Bregman is. So about every 3 weeks when Alex Bregman reaches a new level of greatness, I just go in and post a little gif of me like waving or just somebody peeking in around a door or something like that just to remind my haters that, yeah, every once in a while I'll get one that lands. So suck it.
Congratulations.
Suck
well
it,
done.
You 17 people that said I was an idiot for writing that article. Suck it.
Well, at least you only got 17.
Do you get a lot of hate on your Facebook articles?
Yeah.
I had to stop looking because I was just like, you know what? I just don't care.
Yeah. Not on Facebook as much as they'll just do the whole Twitter thing just to feel like they're going to unload. And you're just like, seriously? If you just go back and look. That's why I've said I understand the passionate fan bases, but the whole Rockets Kool-Aid drinkers, they take it to another level that I don't see with very many other teams.
Well, Astros fans do too. They told me AJ Hinch has won a World Series. I think he knows what he's doing. This is a dumb article.
Oh man!
And literally the week after I wrote it is when he moved Bregman to the two hole. I'm not saying that he did it because of my article.
Oh, he might.
I'm just saying you can identify these things if you pay attention to baseball.
Did he not say to the blonde chick with the extra long eyelashes during his press conference before the game that he was reading an article on Sports Map that gave him the idea to possibly move Bregman up? And whatever. That Manny Fresh supported it 150%?
Now you're just mocking me.
No, I'm not!
But TX Viking on Twitter said that cornhole is legit. I don't know. I think you're using the wrong word. I don't know about legit. I mean, I'm sure you like playing it, but the last thing I want to do is sit around and watch dudes
throw beanbags,
which
right?
By the way, am I the only childish one that every time I hear the name I giggle inside and think of something sexual?
I
mean, I still every time we like I'm over here talking about professional cornholing and I'm just like, okay, don't get in trouble, use your adult words, Barry. I have to remind myself, stop it. I have to remind myself not to do those things.
Played cornhole last night and I hammered him. All right, we got one in the books, two to go. 2 hours to go of the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll have hour number two right around the corner, right here on ESPN 97.5.